Well, what's up, Fairhaven Church? It's good to be here. Let's welcome each other. We got one church in many locations here at Centerville. We got Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, Classics. Would you just welcome each other just via applause, just saying, hey, we're one church in many locations. And guys, we're joining together now to open up God's word. And I get the privilege and the honor to do that this morning. And I gotta tell you, I am so excited to do that because we have been in a series called Building Blocks. We've been learning about the building blocks of our faith and what we're building our faith on, really. And I'm excited to wrap up this series and point towards a day when it's all gonna be made perfect. I am excited about this. We're looking at the 11th verse of 2 Peter chapter 1. And so you're gonna want to get your Bibles out because we've been in this passage for the last several weeks. We've been digging deep into these scriptures as we look at the words of Peter, one of the closest guys to Jesus. In his earthly ministry, we get to look at his words as he wrote to the church. He's writing to us. Isn't that cool? And so we've been looking at this. We're going to read it together. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever tried something new? And whenever you were trying something new, you were kind of like not so good at it. And you got better as you went. I've been working on my car now by myself. Reasonably, like not anything crazy. I'm not, you know, taking engines out or anything, but I can change the oil, all right? I've been changing the oil on my wife and I's car for like 10 years because we've been married for about 10 years, all right? We try and save money everywhere we can, so I go and I get the deal somewhere and I'm gonna change the oil on my car. And the first time I did it, guys, I had no idea what I was doing, all right? I YouTubed it. It didn't really help because I got covered in oil because I was using like, instead of getting like, you know, the oil drip pan that you're supposed to get, all right, I was using like a bowl. I'm like, it'll be big enough, you know? And I just got covered in oil, all right? So I, you know, the first time I'm like, I don't know if I should do this. My wife's like, I don't know if you should do this either. And I didn't know what I was doing. I got some tools along the way. I got some help from people who really saw me struggling and said, let me tell you how to do that right. I got some tools along the way that now I can change the oil, and only there's some little things that go wrong with the cars every once in a while. But I still have a lot to learn. There's this thing that I just found out this last week. My wife pulls out of the garage and I look under her car. It's a decently new car. It's not super new, but you know, it's like 5 years old. And you know, it's new to us. We've changed the oil on it once. And there's just this little drip of oil. And I go, oh no, oh no. The car, it's a lemon. Like, what are we gonna do? So I told her, I'm like, hey, I gotta check this out. And luckily, it's just that I reused the crush washer, you know? I didn't know you weren't supposed to reuse those. But if you reuse the crush washer too much, you'll leak oil. It's a very simple fix. I just gotta change the oil again. So, but I'm still learning today something new, something a little bit better to make it better. The very thing that I've been learning over the last couple years, I do a better job at it. I do a better job of working on my wife's car and change the oil, but I still have some things to learn. I think this passage is very much that same way for me. I started to follow Jesus whenever I was in high school, really follow him. I grew up in a Christian home, but I started to really follow him after going to the Life Conference. We had several students from our church, many of our campuses, go to the Life Conference this summer. Still happening, isn't that amazing? 20 years later, I went in 2004, and I felt God's call on my life to be renewed by his spirit, and actually called into ministry is part of the reason why I'm standing here today. So if you know a high schooler that went to the Life Conference, just ask them how that experience was, because God probably did something really cool in their life while they were there. He did something cool in my life while I was there as a teenager. And I remember coming back from the Life Conference and listening to a message about this very verse, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. These verses were just something that my youth pastor actually was preaching at Big Church, which is what I still actually call it. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I call this Big Church. It's kind of a fun thing. Church, you know, the high school kids probably call it the same thing. I still call it that. I even put it in my calendar today, preaching at Big Church. So You know, youth pastors, we have to figure out how to like lose that because we're all the church. But still, I view it that way. But I was listening to my youth pastor give this awesome talk. I had never heard this before. It was amazing about how like God actually outlines a pattern of things that we can grow in our walk with God. That's so cool. I thought it was just going to magically happen somehow. And this gave me a framework to actually think about what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. Now, of course, I probably wouldn't have described it as that whenever I was in high school and just finding out who Jesus is. But now I know this is a list given to us to help us know what it, becoming like Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives, what it actually is going to look like. All right, and so we're gonna dig into it again today. And I hope that as you are reading these verses now, maybe for the first time, maybe it's a verse that you've been reading, these verses you've been reading for 20 years like I have, or you know, it's around 20 years. I'm not that old, but you know, it's been almost 20 years. And I've been reading these verses, it's 19 technically. I wanna be technical, I'll be truthful in church, all right? 19 years I've been reading these verses, and every time I learn more. And God reveals more in my life. And so if you've been following Jesus for 2 minutes, maybe you're not even there yet. We'll talk to you a little bit today, but maybe you've been following him for 40 years or more. Maybe God can teach you something today through his word and through these verses. So we're going to read the whole thing one last time as a church, but this better not be the last time you read these verses in your life. Let's finish out the series by reading the entirety of 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. I hope you have your devices out. You're in this in front of you reading it for yourself as I read it aloud. Verse 3 says, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, you become partakers of the divine nature. Wow, man, that's amazing. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. The last verse, we're gonna zoom into this one today. Verse 11 says, for in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me as we pray and ask God to just reveal to us something new today? God, I pray that you would guide our hearts to understand this scripture more today. God, would you speak to us through your word? God, would you give us insight to know how you are transforming us to live? God, you're doing the transformation. We try our hardest, we strive for it, but God, we recognize that you're doing it. Thank you for that goodness and grace in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. The goal of this entire passage is to show us what becoming more like Jesus is all about. There's a big theological word that maybe you've heard to describe this. Sanctification. All right, everyone say it with me. Sanctification. All right, there we go. All right, so what is the goal of all of this? The goal is to help us understand that we're to become more like Jesus, to be sanctified. We're to be set apart. There's all kinds of ways to describe what this is. We're gonna look this morning at what the goals of sanctification are that'll help us define it. And the first is to make you into a little Christ. to make you into a little Christ, okay? I'm stealing this phrase, little Christ. That's why it's in the little air quotes. You know, well, they're not air quotes up there. There are air quotes right here. A little Christ. I'm stealing it from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. Maybe you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. Great stories. You should read them with your kids. You should just read them yourself. But C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book called Mere Christianity. And if you've been following Jesus for a little while and you haven't read this book, it's a great book. I reread it this week. And I heard this and I was like, that's exactly what we're talking about. Little Christ. The goal is to make you into a little Christ. This is what C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity. He says, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. You are to be a reflection of Jesus. You are to be one that whenever somebody looks at you from the outside, somebody who doesn't know anything about you would say, you know, he looks like Jesus. They might not be able to say it that way. In fact, they would look at these different things that are described by Peter and probably say, well, he's a faithful guy. He's steadfast. You know, that's somebody that's maybe a loyal woman or man. That's somebody who is kind. They'd be saying these things about us, but we would know it's because we're looking more and more like Jesus. We're becoming a little Christ. Why are we to become a little Christ? Well, there's a really important reason, because Jesus was the perfect human with a perfect relationship with God. And the whole goal of God creating us in his image was to create someone that in his image could be in a right relationship with him and give him glory. But we rebelled from that, so we need a savior. We'll talk more about that. But the goal is to make you a little Christ, which is a perfect human with a perfect relationship with God. That's the whole goal. This whole passage of scripture, it's the very first part of 2 Peter, he's telling the church, the whole goal is to make you look just like Jesus. So when people see you, they don't see Levi Smith, some guy from Beaver Creek, they see Jesus. And when they look at you from wherever you're from, they see Jesus. You might be the only Jesus somebody sees. Amen. And so how we act and how sanctification is working out in our lives to become these perfect people, not by our own doing, but because of his, because he is in us. This is so awesome. It's so cool. They get to experience Jesus through us. That's the call of this entire passage, what we've been talking about for 6 weeks now, to be perfect humans with a perfect relationship with Christ. Romans 6:22 says this, but now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. We're gonna zoom in to that eternal life part and the kingdom of God in our place. That's what verse 11 in this first chapter of 2 Peter is all about. It's all about that future hope we have. Because I think you would agree, though we are made to look and be like a little Christ, we still struggle each day. I don't always look like Jesus. Just ask my wife, all right? I don't always look like Jesus, but God is doing a work in me. He's making me more like him. And as I continue to trust him, as I grow, and I'm not using a bowl anymore to collect the oil out of my car, I've gotten maybe some tools, and this list is to give us those tools. And so we've been looking at this list, what God does in us, these building blocks, we've called them, of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness. We're gonna add to that godliness and brotherly kindness and love. We're gonna put these different things in our life, because I don't understand exactly how this sanctification thing really works. I'm learning it as I go, and I think you are too. I think if we're honest, we'll say that. But I know that as I'm adding these things up, it always feels like me, but I know it's God doing it in the background through his spirit. God's bringing these things out in me. But the whole point of this is to make us into people who look like Jesus. And we have to start with him. I think if we look at this list, many of us, I think you would agree, would say, these are good things even if you aren't a Christian. Like most of us, even before we were a Christian, would want to be known as kind. Most of us would want to be steadfast. Like nothing can move me. I have a firm foundation. We want to be self-controlled. And even the most difficult, maybe even evil people in all of human history are trying to do something kind of like this. They might call godliness something else. They might call it power. But we are trying to build a life. And it's a lot of these things. And if we miss the foundation, we will miss the eternal reward that is waiting for us. And we won't become those perfect people. I want to use an analogy that really we've been using this entire series. I've got my jumbling tower blocks here, and there's no copyright there. Wow, that was really good. It did not go that well in the last service. All right, so we have our tower. Wow, can I keep this all together? That'd be awesome. So we've got our tower, and I brought some foundations that I have either used in my life or I've seen used. Snickers. The foundation of Snickers. The point of this is my favorite candy, all right? Favorite. It's terrible because we have a whole bunch of them. Thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page. We have a bunch of these at the Beaver Creek office, and I eat way too many of them. So the point of this foundation is to show us that we can build our lives on something that makes us feel good. There are things that you might be putting all your faith in that you're putting as the foundation of how you're building your life that just make you feel good for a moment. It might be Snickers. It might be food. It might be a relationship that's making you feel really good for a moment. It might be alcohol. It might be something. It might be a drug. It could be a million things. We put all kinds of things, but you know what makes you happy for a moment. And if we start to build our lives on something, we try to get it to stand, and it will always fail us eventually. There is things that we're putting our foundation as our foundation that were never meant to be there. Another one for you, if it's not the thing that makes you feel good, maybe it's something that I brought these. I like to organize my thoughts, not so much in a binder because, you know, paper is expensive or something. I don't know. But I organize my thoughts on my phone and on my computer, and I try to make sure that everything's just right. And I want to come up with the just right way of thinking. And I think we do this all the time. I see this all over the place. You know, I don't have TikTok, but I do I do get on YouTube quite a bit, and I'm watching stuff, and they always bring up those suggested videos. You guys have some suggested videos. Mine are always people who are trying to come up with a good, stay there. That's what I wanted to stay. They're always trying to come up with the right way of thinking. They can explain the world. They can do all these things. And we see all these debates and all these people who are trying to understand why they're here and then build their life on that. And we've come up with some really clever things throughout human history. We really have. Some people would say that Christianity is actually something that's cleverly devised. Peter actually addresses this in the very next verse. So you should go read this for yourself this week. In the very next verse, in verse 12, he says, we don't follow cleverly devised myths because we saw Jesus in person. We had a real relationship with him. Okay, but we build our lives upon this, and we try to say, I'm going to be a steadfast person. I'm going to be a person of faith. And here's the funny thing. Faith can be put on the base level. That's where we're starting on this and not slide off. But when you start to add up your life, it starts to move and it's going to fail. And here's the hard part. Even if it doesn't fail in this life, there's a day when the truth will be revealed. and you owe it to yourself if you're trying to say, I've figured out how to describe how my life works through any other message other than what Jesus tells us, what God has revealed through his word, then we are gonna miss this truth. We are going to miss the eternity that's promised to us because we can try, as we might, to build a life of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love in many different forms. But if we miss the foundation, if we miss the right foundation, we're gonna miss it entirely because there's coming a day when Jesus will come back, and we're looking forward to that day because we know the truth revealed through his word, that anything other than faith in Jesus will fail you. And so we build our lives not on cleverly devised thought processes, on theories that may seem really great. We build our lives on the foundation of Jesus. That is the key to making this kind of life work. Because I will fall if I'm building on anything other than him. We just sang a song, In Christ Alone, the Cornerstone. It said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and his righteousness. It is his sacrifice that we build our life on. Because the goal is to make us perfect humans with perfect relationship with God. And the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about this analogy the entire time we've been in the series and how we're using these building blocks to build something that will never fall. And I was thinking about how we have the foundation of Jesus. We get him as, and this is the Bible, you know, this is his word. Jesus is called the word of God in John. And so we build our lives on Jesus. And I was thinking about how God gives us the pattern to build our lives. He gives us these building blocks through his word. And I was thinking about what don't we see here? That there's actually a force that's keeping these here called gravity. And I want to, maybe this isn't a perfect analogy, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit keeps us here. Think about that for a little bit. I've been thinking about it, that the Holy Spirit, something we can't see, but is a force beyond our control, is making us into these kind of people, perfect people throughout our lives. That is what these verses are all about. So my question to you, are you becoming one that will never fall? That has been the point of the Building Blocks series. How do we do that? How do we become someone who will never fall? The entire goal of Jesus coming and dying on the cross was to take me, someone who fell all the time. I have fallen so much. There is this rebel heart within me that I said no to God and turned away from him. And we all have done that. He wants to take one who falls over and over and over again and make him like one who does not fall. That's the goal of Jesus. So the life we want to build, we can't build it without Jesus. We cannot build it and sustain it without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We cannot build it unless we know that God is doing this and we are surrendering to him every day. Then he is doing it in our lives. So, are you allowing God to work in your heart? The second thing we're gonna zoom into is that verse 11, it says, that the other goal of sanctification is to give you entrance into the eternal kingdom. We're given this great gift, okay? And the first thing I think about when I read this is, well, what's heaven like, right? And how do I get there? Those are the two things that we always ask whenever we're talking about heaven. And I wanna give you a few things that I you know, and not a huge, you know, here's everything you need to know about heaven, because first of all, I don't think we can imagine it. I don't think we can know everything about the kingdom that God is in. Even now, our brains can't handle it. That's why in the New Testament and the Old Testament, when there's visions of biblical authors who see what the kingdom of heaven is like and what God's throne room looks like, they're like, it's like this. And it kind of looks like that. Like, they have no idea what they're looking at, which is just amazing, all right? It's just amazing. If you think like, man, if I saw it, I'd be able to describe it great. You wouldn't. I've been thinking a lot about this, that as we think about heaven, typically what I think of is like a really sweet resort, all right? Like all-inclusive, big feast everywhere. Everyone's happy, having a good time. You know, there's some resorts I'd love to go to, but there's no way I can afford them. Think of the most extravagant vacation place that you would want to go, right? It doesn't even hold a candle to heaven, right? There's no way. We describe it as like streets of gold. There's probably stuff there that we don't even know, okay? There is. And here's what's important for us is that our view of heaven typically is very, very limited. It's very limited. Even some of the good things about heaven that we desire, I mean, one of the first things I always think of, and maybe you would agree with me, maybe you think of this too, is I can't wait to get to heaven to see someone that I'm missing, who I lost. I think about that quite often, quite, honestly, I do. And I was just talking this week with my mother-in-law and my wife and the rest of her family. And I got to know her grandmas growing up and got to know them once I was interested in my wife and we were dating and I did some work for her one grandma. And when she died, we knew it's like, it's my heart. Like, I miss her. We were talking about her this week. And I was just thinking about this message and thinking like, it's gonna be awesome to see her. And though that is an awesome thing about heaven, we will know each other in heaven. And we will see each other and recognize each other. And the relationships will certainly be different than they are here. And you can do all kinds of study on what that's about. But my point in telling you this today is that that's probably even one of the least good things about heaven. I mean, the thing we look at is like, it's gonna be the best, right? I can't wait to see them. Doesn't even hold a candle to what heaven will really be like and what we will be excited about when we're there. We can't imagine it. But there are some things that we need to know about heaven that will maybe help us understand what this entrance we're being given into the eternal kingdom is like. It is a physical place. Jesus was resurrected in a physical body. You will have some sort of physical body that is glorified in heaven, and it will be in a physical place. And I don't want to get into all the intricacies of this because honestly, it's very confusing and we don't have time to even get into it today. And I would love for you, because it's important to think through these things and it's awesome to keep our eyes focused on our future home, because we will spend way more time there than we do here. The important thing that I want us to know is that this will be a place, a perfected place, where perfected people live in perfect relationship with God and each other. That's our future home. Doesn't that sound awesome? Don't you just want that now? Because when I look at the world, there is all kinds of divisiveness. There's all kinds of things the sickness, the pain that we go through, the suffering we see in people's lives that are even sometimes no fault to their own. Actually, a lot of times no fault of their own. We're in a fallen world and God wants to redeem this world and he sent his son to do it. And we get to experience it now, which is, I think, the other important part. Before we get to that, just a few verses to bring this home at this point of a physical place that is perfected with perfect people in perfect relationship. It says this in 2 Peter, just a little bit further down in chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. God reveals this through a different author in Revelation 21, verse 1. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. God is going to make a new place for us, a physical place for us to be in perfect relationship with him and others as we've been perfected. That is our future home. That's amazing. God is also granting us entrance into this kingdom that's not just a physical place in the future that we will be in, we will spend all of eternity, but he's inviting us into a kingdom of God's people that starts now. It starts now. It's already here. God has given us citizenship to his kingdom. And you, when you believe in Jesus and trust in him for your salvation, are a part of that kingdom. So much more than any other kingdom on earth, you are a part of a heavenly kingdom. You know, I'm Levi from Beaver Creek. I live in Ohio and in the United States, in North America, on planet Earth. All of those places are not my home. My home is God's kingdom. And I belong first and foremost to that kingdom. And if you believe in Jesus, so do you. Paul says this, it's interesting, in Philippians 3, he says, not that I have already obtained this or that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. If you are struggling with things in your life, know that you're in good company. Paul still says, I haven't already attained this. God's still working on me. If I had this all built up and I had every one of those virtues perfectly, like, I want that. I'm striving towards it. I'm forgetting all the failure behind, but I'm striving towards that day. I'm living towards that day where all things will be made new, where the physical place and my physical change will actually be a reality. I'm looking forward to that day, and that's how I live my life now. 1 John chapter 3 says this, beloved, we are God's children now. That's awesome. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself, and he is pure. This tells me it's not my purity. It's not how hard I try to be virtuous and good, have all the right morals. It's not that I'm trying hard. It's that God did it for me. And he's making me a little Christ. He's making me like him. So my question for you today as we wrap up, are you a part of this kingdom? Is your citizenship heaven? Is it? Are you a part of this kingdom? You can be. Listen to these verses. If you are not a part of this kingdom, you're not trusting in Jesus, if he is not your foundation, this is the truth from the word of God. Isaiah 53:6, maybe write these down if you wanna look at them later. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Because, John 3:16, he loved the world. God gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life in this kingdom. Galatians 2:20 says, I now have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8, and now therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. That is the gospel, and that is how God invites you into his kingdom. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you so that you could believe in him and have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's what we're called to. That's how we put God as our foundation, realizing I can't do it myself, but he will do it through me. So then the question is, if you're a part of his kingdom, Are you drawing others into his kingdom? Are you drawing others into his kingdom? This is about how we live, because we have to trust in Jesus to be invited into the kingdom. We're invited, and to be in the kingdom, we have to trust in Jesus. So are you drawing others into the kingdom? How do we do that? I mean, that's my first question, is how do I draw people in? This is so important because, I mean, it's the verses that we've been studying today. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the kingdom of heaven of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To become these things. Allow God through his Holy Spirit to change you, to make you faithful, to make you good, to make you knowledgeable, to make you self-controlled and godly and a true friend. That's what brotherly kindness is all about, being a true friend to people and being loving and charitable towards others. That is how we work out our salvation. We strive towards it, knowing that I'm gonna do all I can to become more like Jesus, but knowing that it's God and his Holy Spirit that is working in my life to make me those things. Believe in him today and strive to be more like him for every day from now on. That's what we're called to do. And that gains us entrance into his eternal kingdom. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your word. Oh, it's amazing. God, thank you that we can learn the truth about who we are. God, there may be many of us that are wrestling with that. There might be all kinds of things that we are putting our faith in, trying to build our lives upon. God, would you show us the foolishness of building our lives upon something that will not last us? And Lord, would you reveal to us how awesome and great your love is for us, that you provided a way for us to be made right and redeemed when we didn't deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts towards you, whether we are deciding today to follow you or we've been following you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. God, would you bring us closer to you, transform us to be more like Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.